two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your all-day resource for critical breaking news, traffic and weather, and conversation about Utah's most important stories. Listen on any smart speaker, the KSL News Radio app, and in your car at 102.7 FM. KSL FM Midvale, KSL Salt Lake City, KSL News Radio, Utah's all-day companion for news.
Good afternoon. It's 4 o'clock at KSL News Radio. I'm Maria Chalaios in for Jeff Kaplan. Smoky skies and 99 degrees in downtown Salt Lake City. KSL's top story this hour. 8 people are dead after a 22-car pileup on I-15 in Millard County yesterday. KSL News Radio's Nick Wyatt reports half of those who died were children.
Utah Highway Patrol troopers say heavy winds blowing dust over I-15 between Meadow and Kanosh likely caused low visibility yesterday, leading to a 22-car pileup. Of the 8 people who died, 5 were driving in one car, 2 people were in another, and the 8th death was in a third car. The UHP says 4 of those who died were children under the age of 15.
An online donation page has been created to cover funeral expenses for members of the family who died. Breaking news on KSL News Radio. We are just learning the names of those who were killed in that crash yesterday. The victims are 2-year-old Frankie Sawyer, 6-year-old Riggan Sawyer, 30-year-old Courtney Sawyer from St. George. They were in one car with 37-year-old Ray Sawyer and his 12-year-old son Ryder. They are from Lehigh. 2 other victims were a couple from Salt Lake City, Richard and Marciella Lawrenson, and a 15-year-old from Yuma, Arizona, Cameron Valentine. After this accident, Utah Highway Patrol is urging everyone to brush up on how they drive in low visibility situations. Sergeant Cameron Roden says that we have these types of conditions all the time.
Where we do have fog in the wintertime, we do have, you know, heavy rains which will cause low visibility. We'll have situations with, you know, wildfires and smoke drifting across the roadway. So we have similar situations. But not always do they turn out this severe. The biggest thing is to slow down. Speed is going to be one of the biggest problems if you're going into it at a high rate of speed.
Sergeant Roden says never stop in the middle of the road if it becomes hard to see. Police in Utah are looking for a driver who hit and killed a pedestrian in Salt Lake this morning. Police were across the street responding to another call when the crash happened near 550 West and 3rd South. They gave the victim first aid, but the person died on the scene. Police say they are currently looking for a silver 2013 Subaru Impreza hatchback with the Utah license plate U770CA. Some good news for this air and heat. Increased chances of rain move in tomorrow and then for the rest of the week. But before that, we have one more smoky day to deal with, and some people are just tired of it.
I've noticed the air quality has kind of been a little down. It's not great.
It's making it difficult to enjoy the mountains and to enjoy the scenery of Utah.
Forecasters say, though, we may not see another triple-digit day for a while. And in fact, next week we officially are past the statistically hottest part of the summer. KSL's top national stories this hour. The Department of Veterans Affairs is now the first federal agency to require its employees to get a COVID vaccine. President Biden confirmed the news this afternoon.
Veterans Affairs is going to, in fact, require that all docs working in facilities are going to have to be vaccinated.
The department is giving an 8-week deadline for all its employees to be vaccinated. New York City won't require vaccinations for its workers, but it will require tests if an employee is unvaccinated. Starting this fall, employees who have not shown proof of a COVID vaccination will have to get a weekly COVID test. City employees, including teachers and police officers, have until September 13th to make their decision. California will instate a similar requirement just about a month earlier, but Governor Gavin Newsom says California is going one step further.
We're not stopping just with state employees. Today, we're also announcing partnerships that include those like Kaiser, private sector now stepping up, organizations representing physicians and sector clinics are committing to the same.
The deadline for California is August 10th. Bars and restaurants in San Francisco will require vaccinations or negative COVID tests, ABC's Alex Stone reports.
On the heels of France deciding that vaccines or negative tests are needed to enter bars or other public places, now members of the San Francisco Bar Owners Alliance have decided to enter their bars. Beginning this Thursday, customers will have to show proof of vaccination or a negative COVID test within 72 hours. Otherwise, customers can sit outside. The bar owners say it's to protect workers, customers, and families. Alex Stone, ABC News.
White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says the surge in COVID cases among the unvaccinated is prompting new discussions at the federal level about what can happen.
Dr. Anthony Fauci confirmed this weekend there's a discussion within the Biden administration about updating federal guidance on mask wearing for vaccinated Americans. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki on Monday.
There, of course, is an active discussion about a range of steps that can be taken, as there has been from the first day of this administration.
Psaki went on to say that it's public health officials who are going over data to make a determination about mask guidance.
And if they make an assessment, we will, of course, be here to follow their guidance.
Karen Travers, ABC News, the White House.
An Idaho woman will have to pay $5,800 after leaving a bunch of trash out at Grand Teton National Park. Wildlife officials had to tranquilize the grizzly bear after the bear was attracted to all the trash at the campsite. The Associated Press reports campers shot photos of the bear rummaging through the trash and the drinks left at the campsite last month. Officials warned the bear might have to be killed if it's involved in a similar problem again. Ricky Meese, you still have some problems out there?
Yeah, we do. It's pretty rough. If you normally travel the 21st South Freeway into Magna, you got to plan on an alternate route this evening. Crews are still on the scene mopping up this awful crash that turned into a fire at 7200 West. The 201 has been closed in both directions, and we already have delays on the 201 prior to 5600 West. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
Coming up on Jeff Kaplan's Afternoon News, let's talk about space food. Jeff Kaplan's going to tell us how the astronauts eat on the International Space Station. That's coming up next in his Minute of News.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.